It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? I'm so glad that you've joined us today. We're continuing the study in the book of Matthew, and we're going to begin with that 54th verse. Matter of fact, we'll back up to 53, because 52, 53, that's a good place to start. So it's Matthew chapter 27, and we're going to begin reading with verse 51. While you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street, and we're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois 62341. If you'd like to call us, the phone number is 217-440-4402. If you would like to visit our website, it's www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. That's parkviewbiblechurch.org. And if you'd like to email us, it's parkviewbible@gmail.com or parkviewbiblechurch@gmail.com. Either one would work just fine. Glad that you've joined us today. Let's begin the reading of God's precious word. Then we'll open with prayer and start with the study. Matthew 27, verse 51. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose, came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city, appeared unto many. Now when the centurion, and they that were with him, watching Jesus, saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. And many of the women were there, beholding afar off, which followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering unto him, and among which was Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's children. And when the evening was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. And he went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus, and then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered. And when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out in the rock, and he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulchre and departed. And there was Mary Magdalene and the other Mary sitting over against the sepulchre. Now we're going to stop the reading there in verse 61. We may get just a little bit further, but that's far enough for the reading to begin with. And let's begin with prayer. Father, thank you that we can come today, enjoy this precious time. I just ask that you would guide and lead us, Father, through this study. We must have your leadership and your direction, your strength, your wisdom. We cannot do this on our own. We must have the presence of the Holy Spirit as we walk through these precious words and learn them and grow from them. It's such a joy, Father, to study each and every day. So please, guide and lead us, Father, through this study, and we just will thank you and praise you each and every day, each and every hour. We should do it each and every minute in our hearts. And so, Father, thank you for the salvation you've given us through your Son, the Lord Jesus. Thank you that you sent the Holy Spirit, that he would convict our hearts, show us who we are, that we're a wicked old worthless sinner, and we need a Savior. And that Savior is none other than Jesus, and the Holy Spirit introduces us to your Son, the Lord Jesus, and tells us, explains to us very clearly that he is our Savior, and we need to come by faith and faith alone to him. Thank you, Father, for this wonderful opportunity, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we look at these verses of Scripture here, and it's such a joy to look at the activities, and we'll just kind of review those very quickly here before we move on with the rest of the verses. But some of the things, because we really got down to the now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw, and we're going to kind of stop there, but we're going to get a little bit of a review here, because we find that the veil, it was torn from top to bottom. And again, it was an inch to 3 inches thick. There was a great earthquake. The rocks were rent, just literally split in two. And now we have the graves opened. And so we know that that took place here. The schedule's not really clear. It says the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. And so we have all these activities. But as we kind of back up here and look at the centurion, and we find that we have the veil, and we have the earthquake, we have the rocks rent, we have the words that the Lord Jesus spoke upon the cross. All these things, the centurion and they that were with him witnessed. And so I want you to see that because it's very important. Now, the centurion was a head of 100 Roman soldiers. It would seem that this band of soldiers was responsible for the crucifixion. So they were there very close, watching, witnessing, keeping the crowd back, whatever their responsibility might have been. We've got some verses of scripture here that we need to take a quick look at, and that is in Mark chapter 15, and we're going to start there. Mark chapter 15, and we're going to look at the 39th verse. Mark 15, 39, and when the centurion, which stood over against him, saw that he so cried and gave up the ghost, he said, truly, this man was the Son of God. What tremendous words. Let's look at Luke. Luke 23. Verse 47. And now when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, certainly, this was a righteous man. Surely, this was a righteous man. So in seeing all these activities, back to Matthew chapter 27, verse 54, in witnessing all these things, seeing all these things happen. And as the scripture says, now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, those things. You know, I'm sure that they had witnessed many crucifixions, probably were responsible for many of the crucifixions. But none like this. None like this. Their words at the end, they feared greatly, saying, truly, truly, this was the Son of God. We kind of focus on the centurion, but if you'll notice, it says they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. The words of Jesus were the words of God. And being the words of God, therefore, were the power of God unto salvation. Because you see, that's the first place that you need to go. That's the first place this centurion needed to go. That's the first place that the thief on the cross needed to go. Every one of us need first to hear the words of salvation, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and say yes. So you see here, those words, the words that they heard. Were they so close that they heard the conversation between the thief on the cross and the Lord Jesus. Let's look back at those. Go back to verse 41 of this chapter. It says, likewise also chief priests mocking him with the scribes and the elders said, he saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the king of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now, if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. And it says here that the thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in their teeth. But if you'll remember when we studied that, that we found that there was one thief. There was one thief on the cross. Let's look to see. Because it's so important that we understand the Word of God. Let's go back to Mark chapter 15. Mark chapter 15. See what he has to say. Verse 28 to 29. And they that passed by railed on him, wagging their heads and saying, Ay, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest in 3 days, save thyself and come down from the cross. Likewise also the chief priests, mocking, said among themselves with the scribes, he saved others, himself he cannot save. Let the king of Israel descend now from the cross, that we may see and believe. And they that crucified with him reviled him. Okay, let's go down now to Luke. Luke chapter 23. Luke 23. And let's see what verse 39 has to say. Luke 23:39. One of the malefactors, which were hanged, railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, Doth not thou fear God, seeing that thou art in the same condemnation? We indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said to him, Verily I say to thee, Today shalt thou be with me in paradise. We found it in Luke. Matthew didn't mention it. Mark didn't mention it, but Luke sure did. Were those words that this centurion heard? Did he hear that exchange between the two thieves and then between the thief and the Lord Jesus? And see, Jesus knows the heart. It is by faith and faith alone. He knew the heart of this one man. But the centurion, back to the centurion. Did he hear these words? Did he hear all the words that Jesus spoke? Yes, he did. And that brought him to this place. And again, now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly. They feared greatly, saying, Truly, this was the Son of God. What a day. There's only one way to be saved. and that is by faith. God's grace saves us, but faith brings saving grace. Got some verses of scripture here I'd like to look up. This is a wonderful message with the thief on the cross getting saved, the centurion, and they, we don't know how many that is, believed at this time. Let's go to Romans chapter 10, verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It's what we're doing today. We're proclaiming the word of God. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 3. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. You see, you can say those words, but there is no power and no authority and no strength in them unless you have accepted the Lord Jesus as your Savior. And the Holy Spirit has to show you the way of salvation. You have to accept that you're a sinner, accept that Jesus died on the cross for you, accept it clearly by faith, not by any works, not by any deeds, not by something you have to do or you have done. It's strictly by faith. Say yes to Jesus, and then you have the opportunity to fellowship with God the Father and God the Son. Beautiful verse of scripture. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, verse 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Faith. It would seem one of the thieves on the cross was saved, and he was. And we can find that with the centurion. And those that were, some that were with him, according to the scripture, they feared greatly, saying, truly this was the Son of God. We don't know the heart, God does. But what wonderful words by faith. Praise the Lord. Verse 55. Many of the women were there, beholding afar off, which followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering unto him. Among which was Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of the Zebedee's children. Many that followed Jesus were unfaithful. They cried out, crucify him, crucify him. Even we find Peter denying the Lord Jesus. What a sad, sad day. But there's no mention of any of these faithful women turning their back on Jesus. There's probably some that were, but there's no mention of them. There were so many women that followed the Lord Jesus, followed him closely, ministered into him, helped him, met his his needs, whether it was for food or for clothing, whether it was for a place to stay. They were there. Sometimes it's just to sit at his feet and listen. What a wonderful opportunity that was. John chapter 19, verse 25. Let's go back there. I hope you know your books of the Bible, because it's such a joy to go from one to the next to the next. John chapter 19, verse 25. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother, and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. And so we have a list there, tells of the same women found that were near the cross. The crowd as a whole was kept back. The crowd as a whole just stood back, but not these women. Let's go to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8, verse 1 through 3. And it came to pass afterwards that he went through every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him, and certain women, which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went 7 devils, and Jonas the wife of Cusa, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and others which ministered unto him of their substance. Ministered to him of their substance. So you see, as we look through the Gospels, we find a list of these faithful women that served. And today we find that many times those are the faithful ones that come to church, that work, that minister. Kind of puts us men to shame. We should be the spiritual leaders. We should be the ones to stand up and teach our children and share the gospel with them and see that they're in Sunday school and church and see that they're taught the Word of God. But many times it's the mothers, it's the women that take care of those responsibilities because we lack in doing them as we should. On to verse 57 and 58. When the evening was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea. I'm back in Matthew 27, verse 57. And when the evening was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. And he went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus, and then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered. This account is also found in Mark, Luke, and John, and I think it's worthy to look to those verses of Scripture. And so once again, off to Mark we go. Mark chapter 15, verses 42 through 47. Now the evening was come, because it was the preparation. That is the day before the Sabbath. Now that was a high day. It's not saying that was Saturday, because this was the week of Passover. Joseph of Arimathea, an honorable counselor, which also waited for the kingdom of God, came and went in boldly unto Pilate and craved the body of Jesus. And Pilate marveled if he were already dead, and calling upon him the centurion, he asked him whether he had been any while dead, and when he knew it of the centurion, he gave the body to Joseph. And he brought fine linen, and took him down, and wrapped him in linen, and laid him in the sepulchre, which was hewn out of the rock, rolled a stone unto the door of the sepulchre. And again, we got Mary Magdalene, and Mary, the mother of Joseph, behold, were where he laid, watched and saw where they laid him. That's Mark. Let's look at Luke. Luke 23, verse 50. Luke 23:50. And behold, there was a man named Joseph, a counselor. He was a good man and a just man. We're learning each time a little bit more. And the same had not consented to the counsel of the deeds of them. Okay. He was of Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who also himself waited for the kingdom of God. This man went into Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. He took it down and wrapped it in linen and laid it in a sepulcher, which was hewn stone, wherein never man before had laid, was laid. And that day was the day of preparation, and the Sabbath drew on. And the woman also, which came with him from Galilee, followed after, beholding the sepulcher, and now and how his body was laid. And they returned and prepared spices and ointments, and rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment. Now, let's go to John chapter 19. Verse 38. And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him leave. And he came therefore and took the body of Jesus. And there came also Nicodemus. We've added Nicodemus here. And which at the first came to Jesus by night and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pound weight. Then took they the body of Jesus, wound it in linen cloths with the spices, as the manner of Jews is to bury. Now, in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new sepulchre, wherein was never a man yet laid. And there laid they Jesus therefore, because the Jews' preparation day for the sepulchre was nigh at hand. And so there we have read now all four Gospels, because this account is found in all four Gospels. And now we return back to Matthew chapter 27, at 27, verse 27 and 28. And so we have much to learn here. This is the first time that Joseph of Arimathea is mentioned, and nothing of him is announced before and nothing afterwards. He kind of steps onto the pages and he leaves the pages as well. In Luke 23, verse 51, why it tells that Joseph had not consented to the council. In other words, he didn't agree with what they were doing. And in John chapter 19, verse 38, we just read that he was a secret disciple of the Lord Jesus. You know, something here, and we're just about out of time as always, but for a criminal, they are never to have a proper burial. Never to have a proper burial. If it had not been for the religious holiday that was coming, they would have allowed them to just hang on the cross until dead. Remember, they went through and broke the legs of the other two, but Jesus was already dead. And so they had to kind of rush it a little bit because of this religious holiday that was coming. And in the Jewish calendar, the day starts in the evening. It ends in the evening, and it starts the next day in the evening. And so they had to get things taken care of. They had to get him down off of the cross because of this holy day, this high day. And so they were in the process of doing that very rapidly, more so than they usually did. But no matter, because never is a criminal to have a proper burial. That body is allowed to hang on that cross, and the vultures would just come and pick the flesh off of it. And if that wasn't the case, then they would just take the bodies and throw it onto the dunghill. But not with Jesus. God took care of that. My dear friend, What are you going to do about Jesus?